You already be seated. Amen. Please open in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. I could wait till next Sunday in Sunday school, but I don't want to, because this would fit. So I'm going to end a thought. I'll probably even tell it in Sunday school next week, but I wanted you to at least consider it concerning the Sunday school lesson that I think most of you heard. A very well-known big preacher was preaching to thousands. He had an illustrated sermon about where Jesus said he is the way and the truth and the light, and where he said he was the door. This minister, true story, had a door on the platform with a frame around it. He preached salvation to where broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life. He preached that many would go and would be lost and few that would be saved. He preached salvation very straight, as biblically as he could. And then he challenged everyone to search their hearts to make sure they were had been through the door. But then he gave an altar call for those that wanted to receive Christ and to come and literally come to the door. And sure enough, there were hundreds that got up. But sitting on the front row of this well-known preacher, I've told you his name, you'd know it, sat his mother. He noticed she got up and got in line. And he thought, Mom, what in the world are you doing? You were saved when I was born. You've lived a life that has been beyond question. And you've raised me and trained me and et cetera, et cetera. And he's thinking this. And it came to where he stopped her before she went through the door. And he said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, Son, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. I just want to make sure. And she went through the door. And I thought that was a very good finish about salvation. Nothing wrong with making sure. And that's what we're trying to do. Okay, now for sermon number 2. Jonah chapter... Here, while you were all looking it up, I was chatting. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. We all know the story, I'm sure of it. I want to start off and say that right now, right while you're sitting, God is doing a miracle for you that you don't see. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Right now, you have a need that you don't even know about that's going to come up. It may come up tomorrow. It may be this next week. It may be a month from now. It may be a year from now. But God, who is omniscient, knows everything, omnipresent, He's everywhere at once, and omnipotent, He's all-powerful. He fills all space and time. He knows the beginning from the end. And therefore, He knows the need that you're going to have. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of how many? Them all. How can He do out of them all? Because He knows the affliction before it comes. And because He knows the affliction and the need that will come to you before it comes to you, He doesn't wait till the last minute to come up with a solution to meet your need. He has already, as we speak, prepared to answer the need that you will have. And so I just want you to know that. We're going to see the Bible that backs this up. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. This was, fish that was prepared. Jonah wasn't thrown overboard by the men that cast lots, and the lot fell on him, and God said, what are we going to do? My prophet is being a stinker, and he's been thrown overboard. What am I going to do? It didn't happen that way. God foresaw the rebellion in Jonah, and the same God that saw the rebellion in Jonah knew that Jonah would repent, and therefore God prepared a great fish. Jesus said it was a whale, and it was a prepared fish. And that really speaks to me of the great God that we serve. If you ever want to read someone who makes God great and bigger than perhaps you have thought of, his name is A.W. Tozer. He was a wonderful minister from Canada, but he is one of the best authors I have read on the greatness of God outside of Scripture. I want to read to you a few of his comments. One book is the quotable Tozer. He said, man is the plan of God and has been permitted considerable, man is the plan of God. That third time's a charm. Man, in the plan of God, has been permitted considerable say, but never is he permitted to utter the first word nor the last. That is the prerogative of the deity and one which he will never surrender to his creatures. God is the Alpha and the Omega. That is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter. He's the beginning and the end. He fills all time, all space. He writes in another place and says, no man should desire to be happy who is not at the same time holy. He should spend his efforts in seeking to know and to do the will of God, leaving to Christ the matters of how happy he shall be. The Christian religion has to do with God and man, but its focal point is God, not man. Man's only claim to importance is that he was created in the divine image. In himself, he is nothing. Even Jesus said, without him, I can do nothing. We naturally and correctly think of man as a work wrought by the divine intelligence. He is both created and made. How he was created lies undisclosed among the secrets of God. How he was brought from not knowing to being, from nothing to something, is not known and may never be known to any but the one who brought him forth. How God made him, however, is less of a secret. And while we know only a small portion of the whole truth, we do know that man possesses a body, a soul, and a spirit. We know that he has memory, reason, will, intelligence, sensation, and we know that to give these meaning, he has the wondrous gift of consciousness. We know, too, that these, together with various qualities of temperament, compose his total human self. These are gifts from God, arranged by infinite wisdom, notes that make up the score of creation's loftiest symphony, threads that compose the master tapestry of the universe. The marks of God's image in man is his ability to exercise moral choice. The teaching of Christianity is that man chose to be independent of God, and confirmed his choice by deliberately disobeying a divine command. This act violated the relationship that normally existed between God and his creature. It rejected God as the ground of existence and threw man back upon himself. Thereafter became not a planet revolving around the central sun, but a sun in his own right, around which everything else must revolve. The Christian religion, again, let me say, has to do with God and man. But its focal point is God, not man. Man's only claim to importance is that he was created in the divine image. In himself, he is nothing. God prepared a whale because he saw a rebellious prophet. The book of Acts has got an interesting name. It's called Acts. It's not called un-Acts. It's called Acts. It's about things happening. But often, if we do not fail to realize and recognize, there were weeks in the book of Acts that covered a period of time where we don't read of anything happening. And yet, I can guarantee you things were happening in the book of Acts when nothing appeared to be happening. And let me say to you, you may be thinking right now, nothing is happening. I don't see God working. I hear of God working in others. I hear this, but I don't see anything happening right now. I want you to know you couldn't be further from the truth. God is working right now in your life and is preparing needs for you, miracles for you, and needs that you don't even know that you're going to come and have, and trials that you don't even know that you're going to enter into, and blessings that he has already for you that you don't know that you're about to receive. In the book of Acts, you can often find that when God was doing something here in someone's life, he didn't have the whole picture. But at the same time, over here, God was doing something at the same time that the two would meet together and they realize the halves made the whole. The same time Cornelius, is this Gentile, is getting a vision or a visitation that he doesn't understand, at the same time, God was working around the corner in the life of Simon Peter to help. Not only what was going to happen is God was going to use Simon Peter to answer the question that Cornelius had, but God was going to minister also, as Peter would minister to Cornelius, a need that Peter had. But it was simultaneously happening, and yet they didn't know across town or at such a great distance something was happening that was connected to their life. I want you to know that right now something is happening to your life that you don't know, but you'll find out. It will be God's answer of his loving protection for you, and you will see his greatness, and you'll begin to find that God is greater than we had even imagined. So here's Jonah, and when he's thrown overboard, God didn't just say, whoops, we got to do something. It said it was a prepared fish. And that just brings comfort to me because God sees the end from the beginning. The difference between us and God is, the difference is beyond what we can fathom. But when we run into a problem, we try to look for a remedy right then and there. What am I going to do? The difference is God, he doesn't run into problems. He sees problems before they even come about, and he creates the answer at the same time the problem comes about. I love the Bible that because it makes a big God and a little man. No wonder we're not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll bring it to pass. I want to repeat, right now in your life, miracles are being made just for you. Answers are being created for problems that will be tailor-fit just for you. And though it is true, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And the reason is because he sees the problem before the problem presents itself. As Abraham, another example in the Bible, is going up the side of the mountain, and he has been asked to sacrifice his son, his only son. You can imagine the grief and the feelings that Abraham had. But at the same time Abram is going up the mountain, there is a ram that is also going up the mountain at the same time. And so when Abram is asked that question by his son, "Father, where is the sacrifice?" Abraham, by faith, could say, "God will provide." But he didn't know that there was a literal ram. Not only did God have a ram that God had made just like he did the great fish that swallowed Jonah, God foresaw the call that he had put upon Abraham, and at the same time God created a ram, and God created a bush that was formed in such a way so the ram would get his horns caught in the thicket. That had to be a prepared plant and a prepared ram at the same time that the need was being presented. That's why the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, that we read, "A body thou hast prepared." Before man ever fell, God had a remedy to the problem. And before you ever are going to come across your problem, I just want you to know there's a remedy. You may not know the remedy, and you may not be wise enough and smart enough to find it, but that's all the more reason why God can get the glory, because he will bring it and has a way of ordering our steps to there is the answer to the problem. I remember when we were pastoring in Wairika, and I remember needing to find a sign. And I look back and I realize God knew I was going to go to Wairika before I ever knew I was going to go. And when I got there, I wanted to make a sign for the church. So I prayed, "Lord, help me find a sign." And so I drove out in the country, and sure enough, there's a sign laying down underneath a great big billboard. And the chances of that are just, there aren't any. But I believe God put the thought in my brain to ask him for a sign. I don't mean some spiritual sign. I mean a literal sign. And then somebody who really thinks they're funny would say, "An adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." I am not an adulterous generation. But I was seeking after a sign. And I found one underneath this big billboard, and I realized it was owned by a motel that had changed their name, and the name was Greystone Key Motel, and that was on the sign that I found on the ground. I went to Greystone Key Motel and asked him if I could have the sign that they used to have, and they said yes. Upon loading up that sign and getting it home in the backyard, I felt, and maybe the Lord told me or I just felt impressed, I don't know, but we had already determined that the name of the church would be Wairika Christian Center. And when I realized there were professional letters already tacked on that spelled Greystone Key Motel, and do you realize that I could rearrange those letters and it would spell from Greystone Key Motel to Wairika Christian Center? And the only letter I didn't have was H, but a little creativity on my part, the M would turn into an H. And the C, I didn't have a C, but I had a G, and all I had to do was clip off the thing on the G to have a C. But I was just amazed that God knows how to spell. And yet God not only knew that there was a sign, he caused ahead of time, knowing the need I would have, and there was the answer to the prayer. And I always remembered that. A similar thing happened one time, and my wife and I were driving out in the country between Sutherland, Oregon, and Roseburg. There's a back route, and I had a flat tire. And for some reason, I went to the trunk. I didn't have a jack or that thing that will take off the lug nuts to the car. I'm standing on the side of the road thinking, what am I going to do? There's no cell phones in those days, and I'm stuck, and it's evening time, and it'll soon be dark. And here comes a farmer. He sees me, and he lives maybe on this 20 acres, and he's up on the hillside. He just happened to be there. No, you find there's no such thing as coincidences in God's kingdom. When he came up and said, what seems to be the problem? And I said, I have a flat tire and I don't have a jack to fit this unusual nut that will take it off. He said, well, I'll be. He said, just yesterday I was plowing and he said, I ran into something. And he said, I reached down and it was a jack. And he said, let me go get it and see by any chance it'll fit yours. I thought, there's no way that it's going to fit this unusual little Datsun car that we had. But do you know that he had a jack that he ran into that met our need and undid the nut on our car? How many know that my need, he saw the need before it ever came about, and God had the answer to my need before it came apart? When God made Adam, and Adam took his first breath, we don't find Adam go, I got no air. God created the air before he created Adam. He knew that everything was there. I love watching nature shows, but I was amazed at God's creation because it showed this little, it was a little monkey. And these monkeys were fighting flies that were bothering them. I think it was a monkey. But this monkey, it had learned to keep the flies off of them. He would catch a centipede, not just any bug, a certain orange centipede. And he'd take that centipede, and he wouldn't eat it. He would squeeze it. And out of that centipede would come little drops. That monkey would take those drops from the centipede and rub it over his body, and it became like a mosquito repellent. And then he would take that little centipede with 100 legs and say, thank you, goodbye, and drop it down. The centipede rolled up into a body, protect itself, and then he was unroll himself and take off. But that monkey, somehow God and his divine wisdom knew there'd be a need, and that monkey found a remedy to his need. Isn't that amazing what God does in creation? A lady in my church said, Brother Connor, do you know you ever get poison oak? Oh, yeah, yeah. She says, well, you know, poison oak often grows around walnut trees. And she says, where poison oak, now I'm watch me end up being proven wrong and I'll feel like an idiot. But she says that where the oak tree is, the leaves, if you'll rub them properly, it helps with the poison oak. So it's almost like God created one as a remedy for the other. I do know this, much of our medicine, and I'm not against doctors or medicines. I believe God heals, and I also believe that some of the things that we take, and you know this, come from plants and things out in nature. And they're still finding things out in nature, plants that have never been discovered. And they have found that some of these plants and things are simply remedies for ailments for the human body. But God has prepared. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. He sees the need. And so I say that nothing catches God by surprise. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. An answer was created before the problem occurred. I want to say that an answer is awaiting you for your either problem or need or affliction or a blessing is awaiting you. I love the story of Naaman, the man who was a captain of the Lord of hosts, and he had won many battles, but then he was a leper. Naaman, a Gentile, and he has leprosy. And yet, it didn't catch God by surprise. For there, as his king sends message to the king, do you have anybody that can help my captain with his leprosy? And the king felt, what am I going to do? Am I God? Am I in the place of God? But then there was a little girl in the house that God had planted, that when she heard about the need of the captain of Naaman and his leprosy, she said, I know a man of God that God could use. You know, God plants those people in your life and your acquaintances, and he has a way of causing you to lead you to the people that will meet the need in your life. And so I say, cheer up, get your hopes up, because no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And God, who knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end and fills all time and fills all space, I love a big God. In fact, we can't make him big enough, and we can't make him holy enough, and we can't make him glorious enough, but he meets all of your needs according to his riches, and his riches are part of the remedy before the problem. And so know this, that he will meet all of your needs according to his riches. Would you stand, please? He has prepared. Father, we thank you that you watch over us and you take care of every one of us. Sometimes, Lord, it is amazing how you do it. But give us eyes to see and give us faith to believe and to help us enjoy our walk. And may our eyes be on you, in Christ's name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, you know, God is going to use you to give me a lot of money. Have a good week. See you Wednesday.